And you're welcome back to the programme. 22 minutes to the hour is the time, and I'm joined on the line now by Liam Horan. Liam Horan, good evening to you.
Good evening, Aidan.
And thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this evening. Liam, just as I was about to go to you, my screen went blank and I'm afraid I can see nothing bar a blank screen. So maybe you'll read out this week's query. I'm not in a position to do so, but I'm sure you are.
No problem. Yes, we have a query from DC by email who says I've chopped and changed a lot in my career, worked in retail for a few years, then studied HR but never really used it, and most recently I've taught English as a foreign language. But I'd really like to get into working in the charity sector. Where would I even begin to start? And I feel my career history makes me look like a flake. That's what DC says.
Very good.
It's an interesting question. As I've said here quite often in the past, you know, people's career paths nowadays are nowhere near as predictable or as, you know, linear as they were 25, 30 years ago. So the fact that DC has topped and changed, as they say it, it needn't be a bad thing. In fact, there's a much more benign attitude towards that kind of movement nowadays than there would have been once upon a time, because, you know, the job for life thing is by and large gone, the career for life thing is by and large gone, and it's all about what you have learned along the way that you can bring to the new job, or indeed what you have done along the way that's propelling you towards the new job. So the first thing I would say to DC is, you know, be easy on yourself. Don't be, you know, your career history doesn't make you look like a flake. It makes you look like a human. It makes you look like somebody who has been living in Ireland clearly for the last number of years where there's been so much change. And, you know, another change, here we go. It's a lot more about what can you bring to the new role that will, you know, add value, will make an employer think that you're a worthwhile addition to their team. So that's the first point I would make.
And just in relation to the whole thing of career and career change, is there now an acceptance on the part of employers that it's part and parcel of modern life now, that people might have three or four different careers over the course of their working life, and in that capacity may bring a wealth of experience to bear on a particular job?
Yes, I would say yes. There's a huge acceptance of that now, that that's the way things are, and that that's a good thing. You know, was it a good thing? We get one run at this life. Was it a good thing that a generation or two ago everybody spent their entire lives more or less doing the same thing? You know, I think that's a generalization as well, but you take my point. I think employers understand that now. They understand that people study one thing, go down a different road. Even students I talk to now, as they're studying, for example, business, will be saying, you know, I am thinking about going into accountancy next, or, you know, that's a fairly obvious jump. But the notion of changing, you know, going on a slightly different run is very commonplace. And, you know, whether employers like it or not, it's the reality of life now. And, you know, this was coming anyway before the Big Bang. I mean, this kind of movement has been very commonplace in America for 35, 40 years now. But the Big Bang in Ireland forced a lot of people to change. And I meet quite a lot of people who say, you know, I'm delighted that the Big Bang came because it stopped me being a builder and now I'm a childcare worker, or I work with the elderly and it suits me a lot more and I'm much happier. So, you know, change is brought on by a variety of reasons that may be forced upon you, or you may willingly go there. And DC is willingly going there, looking to get into the charity sector, you know, and I suppose that's a very interesting area. The one thing I would say possibly is that there can be a slight bit of faraway hills or green about the charity sector, you know what I mean? That it might seem like that, you know, it's unrelenting giving, it appeals to the generous side of my nature. But, you know, a job is a job, work takes work, and when you work professionally in an area that has a lot of voluntary people, such as the charity sector, sometimes it can be hard to get that relationship right between the volunteer and the professional. So I'd say to DC, first of all, before I give more concrete advice, just be sure you're not in that faraway hills or green mode, you know?
And then in terms of that more concrete advice, what would you be saying?
So there are so many charities in Ireland and so many websites and various places you can go to investigate the charity sector. For example, there's a dedicated charity careers recruitment company called Charity Careers Ireland. Their website is charitycareersrecruitment.ie. If you go onto the major websites like Indeed and Irish Jobs and Monster, they all have charity sector jobs as well. There's a very interesting websites, I think probably the main piece of advice I would give DC is to check out a website called activelink.ie. It's an online network for community and non-profit organisations. It does job vacancies, but it also does other interesting elements of the non-profit sector, such as upcoming events, even tenders and that companies or the government might be putting out there. So it's, you know, it really brings into the whole charity world. There are survey reports, there, all that kind of thing. I would say to DC, get talking to somebody who works in a charity right now or previously worked in a charity. And secondly, try and get to some charity event. And you'll find them on Active Link, some talk, some, you know, half-day course, some seminar, where you go along and you get talking to people who work there. I have some experience myself of working overseas with Self-Help Africa and with Goal. And you meet really great people. And if you can get talking to people who have worked in that sector, they tend to be very generous with their time. But, you know, there is that sort of caveat. It is very demanding work. For example, if you go overseas in the charity sector, you frequently go to countries that are clearly that are poorer, which is one of the reasons you're there. Secondly, climates can be very different. You end up working in countries that are quantifiably, you know, warmer than Ireland. So there's things like that that you need to understand. Maybe living in communities where you're, you know, living in any kind of a compound thing, you don't have the freedom of movement that you might have here in Ireland. So get talking to people who work there. Check out activelink.ie and check out those various websites where there are career jobs going. There are various courses, or are charity jobs going. There are various courses as well now that you can investigate about working in the charity sector, all that kind of thing, both here and in Ireland, and they'd be worth checking out as well. So go for it. It's a sector that has a lot of movement. A lot of people join that area at various stages in their lives. It's not necessarily something people just fade from leaving cert. So there is a tolerance there for people joining up later on in life after they've done other things.
Very good. We shall leave it there. Liam Horan, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this evening, and we'll talk to you again about the same time on Wednesday of next week.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you indeed. Okay.